بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واركعوا مع الراكعين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بني الإسلام على خمس شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وصوم رمضان حج الله البيت الحرام لمن استطاع إليه سبيلا رواه البخاري الحمد لله my dear respected elders brothers and friends in Islam last week alhamdulillah we went through the discussion of tahara which is a prerequisite for the validity of a person's salah and how a person should make his way towards Salah. Today, inshallah, we are going to discuss, just for a few moments, the importance of Salah in the life of a believer. We all know very well that Salah is one of the fundamentals in our deen. It is one of the pillars of Islam. And Salah wipes out all a person's sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he was in any kind of distress or there was some unusual phenomena, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to hasten towards Salah. Salah, brothers, is a very, very vast discussion and there are many angles to the discussion of Salah. But today in this short time, Allah ta'ala reward everybody for making the great sacrifice. You know, the bigger the sacrifice, the bigger the hidayat. And the bigger the hidayat, the bigger the jannah. Everybody knows that tonight is the beginning, is the commencement of a long weekend. And everybody has got their own worldly commitments. But alhamdulillah, you have taken out the time. And this is for your akhirat. May Allah ta'ala reward you. So, salah is something, brothers, which impacts on a person's entire life. That's why even the ulama, the saints would tell you that if there is some issue outside a person's life, then you could actually attribute that difficulty or that adversity or whatever be it to your salah. So therefore, brothers, we can suffice on this that there are three efforts that a person needs to make on his salah. One is on the zahir, the outward form of your salah. And that is what we are going to be focusing on primarily, even though all go hand in hand. Thereafter, we need to focus on the batin, the inner aspects of a person's salah, so that a person builds up spirituality through that salah. And the third thing is that salah is a very powerful command. That's why Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that you can set aside your needs for the next farz salah. So, we've got a certain need. We know that we came here for Isha Salah. This Isha Salah has such quwwat, such power and strength in it, that by virtue of the Salah, you will be able to solve whatever problems you have in your life. So powerful is this command of Allah. After the Salah, a person resorts to dua, he supplicates to Allah, after fulfilling this great tenet, this great injunction of deen, and Allah Ta'ala, by virtue of the salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill a person's need. So, the zahir, the outward of a person's salah, as well as the inner aspect, the spiritual aspect of a person's salah, and then to make effort on our salah such that we are able to actually solve our problems in life through salah. Quran says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ Seek the help of Allah through sabr and salah. Sahaba-i-kiram radiyallahu anhum, they rejoiced when the command came down because they knew that this is a very strong link for a person between him and his Lord. And a person is in communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amongst the many other benefits. So, you know, to progress directly into our discussion, Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated once in the masjid. I just want to emphasize the importance of a correct salah. See, there's one thing we have to understand, brothers, is that one is to do something, but one is to do something the correct way. All of us, we understand that in life, people can be doing things, But if you do it with flaws and deficiencies, then that will annoy anyone. So salah also has to be done the correct way, in such a way that Allah Ta'ala is pleased. Listen to this narration. Abu Huraira says, a person came into the masjid. He performed salah. After he completed his salah, he came and he sat before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He makes salam, the Prophet of Allah replies to his salam. And then he says to him, that salli fa innaka lam tusalli. Imagine he completed his salah and then he comes to the Nabi of Allah. The Nabi of Allah says, that go and read salah again, for verily you have not read salah. A second time he goes, he reads his salah. He reads his salah, completes it, he comes before the Nabi of Allah, he makes salam. The Prophet of Allah replies. A second time he tells him that salli fa innaka lam tusalli, you have not read your salah. And then this happens a third time. Subhanallah, he's reading his salah, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that you haven't read salah. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so eventually this person says that, O Prophet of Allah, that I need you to show me that where am I falling short? Please enlighten me that there is something, you know, what is the issue with my salah? So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that when you wake up for salah, then you should say that takbir Allahu Akbar. And then recite what you know of the Quran. And then bow down and remain in the state till you are at ease. Then raise your head and stand up straight. Then prostrate till you are at ease. Then sit up till you are at ease. And do this so in your entire salah. So the problem with this Sahabi's salah was that he was not reading his salah with calmness and composure. Now there are certain points in salah which if a person does not adopt the full calmness and composure, then that renders a person's salah null and void, which we are going to go through inshallah. And another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that the worst thieves are those people who steal in their salah. Subhanallah. The worst thieves are those people who steal in their salah. So Sahaba Ikram inquired that, O Prophet of Allah, how does a person steal in his salah? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this person does not perform his ruku and his sujood correctly. So here, brothers, we have incidents of Sahaba Ikram who did complete their salah. Alhamdulillah, we may be making all the effort. But the finer points also, we need to give importance to it. It shouldn't be that we are making the sacrifice, but on account of some small flaw or deficiency in our salah is rendered invalid. So therefore, we are going to focus inshallah on the zahiri, the apparent of our salah, the postures, our head, our takbirat tahrima, and so on and so on. If we have to open that small leaflet that you have in front of you, they start off from the time before salah. There are 5 points over there. We're just going to go through, all of them very, very quickly. The first thing is that before the commencement of salah, a person's clothing has to be in order. Point number two is about the topi, then preparation in advance, and mentally, and that the surroundings should be clean. Okay, so firstly, brothers, is that a person's attire should be correct. You see, brothers, in the teachings of Islam, we know that this, what we know as the qamis or the kurta, this is actually the sunnah libas and the sunnah dressing. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sahaba ikram wore. So in keeping with the sanctity of this great command of salah, as well as the fact that we are coming into the masjid, inshallah, let us try to the best of our ability that we come dressed in an appropriate manner. Yes, there are various narrations which speak also about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wearing a hat as well as a turban. If a person wears a turban, then you know the reward of that person's salah is amplified. So clothing is very, very important. Another important thing, brothers, is that such clothing should not be worn, especially nowadays we are seeing low-cut trousers, shorts and so on. So what happens is, that part of a person's lower back is exposed for the entire duration of his ruku and sajda, and this actually nullifies a person's salah. Then a person, when he is coming towards salah, a person should come in advance. If we have in our mind what a great command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we are coming towards, then a person comes well in advance. He has now, you know, settled his mind and he is preparing himself. Therefore, we have the salah, the nafal salah and the sunnah salah before the actual main event, the sunnah muakkada. So that a person is now preparing his mind for the greater event, the farz salah, where a person is reading in congregation. So a person makes his wudu ideally at home or in the masjid also. The greater reward is at home. And then he comes over here, he sits here for a short while, he makes zikrullah, dua, he reads some salah. Now he has freed his mind, left everything behind. And remember, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that a person who is waiting for salah, he receives the full reward as though he is in salah. So intidharu salah, waiting for the salah, is an ibadat in itself, and it holds the same virtue as a person who is in salah. There are many, many, many narrations where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has spoken about intidharu salah. And the other thing is a person's clothing, a person's body, and the surroundings also should be clean. If a person is reading maybe at a roadside, or you know, a person is not reading in a masjid or musalla, or using the musalla that we have at home, there are instances where a person has to read on the ground and so on. He should ensure that that place has got no impurity on it. Even if it's grass and so on and there's no visible impurity, it will be permissible for a person to read his salah. So that's also important. Coming to the actual salah, now we have a few points of here with regards to qiyam. Qiyam means the standing position in salah. Firstly, is that a person has to face towards the qibla. Point number two is that the spacing between his feet, how should that be? Where does a person raise his hands to at the time of takbir at tahrima? How will his hands be? How should his head be? At which point should he be saying the takbir at tahrima? And so on and so on. So, we'll just go through it as we are going through the various points. The first thing, brothers, is that we know that Quran says that you have to face towards the qibla when you are reading salah. Let's just assume, for the sake of practicality, that this is the direction of qibla, even though my back is faced in the opposite direction. But for the benefit of our audience, a person should face the qibla. فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَةً, Quran says. Face in the direction of the qibla. Thereafter, ideally, the space between a person's feet should be about 4 fingers. 4 fingers, or such a way that a person is composed. When a person is saying the takbir at tahrima, he will raise his hands. This is very important. Generally what happens is that people raise their hands in this way. This is more the position which is adopted when a person gives the adhan. But the actual way is that a person should raise his hands in this way, that he faces his palms towards the qibla and a person's fingers should be towards the sky. Thereafter, your thumb should be in line with your ears. Raise it like this. And then a person say, Allahu Akbar, and then he will tie his hand in this way. When a person is saying the takbir at tahrima, he should not move his head. So his head will be as it usually is. So the hands will do the work. The palms should be in the direction of the qibla. Brothers, we should remember one thing, that see, that in salah, in ruku, a person will grasp or clasp onto his knees. And in sajda, a person will close and tighten his fingers. On every other posture in salah, a person will leave his hands on its normal, in its normal way. In other words, you won't, with any kind of, effort, close the fingers or spread them out. Clasping will be in ruku, and in the position of sajda, you should close your fingers. But in every other position in salah, a person's fingers will be, you know how it always is. So one more time, a person is going to raise his hands with the thumb in line with the ears. The palms should be facing in the direction of the qibla and the fingers should be towards the sky. Person will raise his hands and then he will say, Allahu Akbar. When we bring our hands, then below the navel, a person will place the palm of the right hand upon the left and form a ring around our wrist. The three fingers of the right hand will be on the forearm of the left hand, and yes, and a person will place his hand below his navel in this way. The gaze should be fixed on the place where sajda is. Wherever a person is going to be making sajda, that's where he should fix his gaze. Now, just for the sake of practicality, brothers, we're going to assume that a person is reading his own salah of two rakats. So two rakats of nafl, because the rulings with regards to reading behind an imam is slightly different. Thereafter, a person will say thana. Thana, which is subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa tabarakasmuk wa ta'ala jadduk wa la ilaha ghayruk. After that is ta'awudh, a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Quran says that إِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. When you're going to recite the Qur'an, then you must seek the protection of Allah. Day after will be بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. Then Suratul Fatiha. And there will be some qira'ah. Qira'ah means a person needs to recite basically one short surah or three small verses. Something as short as إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. A short surah or قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. That also will render a person salah valid. But it should not be too short. So it must basically be at least one sizable ayah or three short ayat. But a surah like Suratul Ikhlas or Inna A'atoynaak, that will be valid for a person's salah. So basically, once a person has now tied his hands, then he is going to say the thana, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa tabarakasmuk wa ta'ala jadduk wa la ilaha ghayru. Then he will read A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, the entire suratul fatiha, then bismil ghayril maghdubi alayhim walad dallin. He will say amin, then bismillahir rahmanir rahim, inna a'tainakal kawthar fasalli li rabbika wanhar inna shani'aka huwal abtar. That is basically now, you know, the completion of the position of qiyam. When a person is reciting suratul fatiha, we should try to remember in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that when a person is reciting Suratul Fatiha, he is in communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, on every verse, Allah ta'ala replies. That's, this hadith is known as Hadithul Ijaba, the hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. So when a person says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that my slave has praised me. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, another response. Maliki Yawmiddin, another response. And then when a person says, Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim Walad Dallin, then Allah Ta'ala says that this is between me and my slave, and whatever my slave asks for, he will receive. After that, a person says, Ameen. Ameen means that, oh Allah, you accept my supplication. And then a person will read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, he will read a surah, and after that, he will go down into ruku. So that completes the position of qiyam. Thereafter is the position of ruku. In ruku, brothers, a person should ensure that his back and head should be all in a straight line. The back and the head should be in a straight line, and the knee should be erect. Thereafter, a person will actually be grasping or clasping onto his knees. So he's not going to be just placing his hands, but he's going to be catching hold of his knees. The gaze should be on the feet. A person's hands should be away from his sides. And then a person should recite the tasbih, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. This is also very important, brothers, that a person pronounces the tasbihat correctly. It's Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Wada dha. Azim. We should practice that, inshallah. So, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. So, let me just do a demonstration. The ruku will be like this. That when a person completes the qira'ah, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَرْ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرْ, and a person will go down. Now, the back and the head should be in a straight line, as you can see. And the hands should be straight, and the hands should be away from the sides, as was mentioned. And a person will actually be clasping or holding onto his knees. And the gaze should be fixed on the feet. A person, is that clear? Take care. So one more time. Like this. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. A person may read the tasbih three times. That is sunnah, or any odd number of times. If you want, you can read it five times, seven times, nine times. And, you know, ideally, a person should read it an odd number of times. But, yes, the minimum is one time. 3 times is sunnah. And, you know, so the imam, generally, we read more than 3 times to accommodate all. So we can continue reading, but we should try to read it an odd number of times. So that is the ruku. Thereafter, a person will come up into the position of qawma. Now, brothers, I must tell you that this is actually very, very important. The position of qawma. Qawma means the standing position. You know, I have observed on many times, people barely come up from ruku and then they rush down into sajda. Now, this is what we spoke about in the beginning when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, go read your salah again. Now, imagine, it's like a person works the whole month, but he doesn't get his pay. You're reading the entire salah, but your salah is null. Your salah is not valid. Why? Because there's some flaw, there's a deficiency in your salah. So when a person comes up from ruku, you are going to come up and you're going to say, Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. And then there are some masnoon du'as. Rabbana lakal hamd, or Allahumma Rabbana wa lakal hamd. You can read any one of them. The shortest version, Rabbana lakal hamd, Rabbana wa lakal hamd, Allahumma Rabbana wa lakal hamd, whichever one you know. There's another dua which is recorded in Sahih Bukhari. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was performing the salah. And one sahabi behind, he read a dua. Allahumma Rabbana wa lakal hamdu hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. That, O Allah, we praise you such praises which are abundant, which are pure. Kathiran tayyiban mubarakan, and praises which are blessed. After the salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned around and he addressed the sahaba ikram that who uttered that statement. So this sahabi, naturally, he was frightened. He didn't know what to expect from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, I saw 30 odd angels rushing and coming from the heavens to record down the virtue of that, of the reward for that one tasbih that you have read. So, Allahumma Rabbana wa lakal hamd, hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. It's about 5 words that we need to learn. Hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. So, inshallah, if a person is reading this, then inshallah, a person will fulfill that requisite of calmness and composure in the position of qawma, and inshallah, in this way he won't be making haste in proceeding towards the sajda. So from the ruku, a person is going to say Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. He can say Rabbana lakal hamd, Allahumma Rabbana wa lakal hamd, hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. Inshallah, if we learn this dua, inshallah, then we'll definitely be fulfilling that requisite, and we'll be saved from that admonishment where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the worst thief, or that person, read his salah but he has in actual fact not read his salah. So these are the small finer points which we need to give importance to. Thereafter, brothers, is the position of sajda. Person is going to go down into takbir. A person is going to go down into sajda uttering the takbir. His back should be straight. First will be the knees, then the palms, then the nose, and then the forehead. And when a person wakes up, it will be in reverse. So it will be the knees, the palms, the nose, and then the forehead. The palms should be in line with the ears. Like how when we said the takbir at tahrima, our hands or our palms were in line with our ears. In the same way, when we are in sajda, then our palms should be in line with our ears. The hands should be away from the sides. If we are reading salah with jama'ah, then not too much. We should consider the person next to us. But when we are reading our own individual salah, then we can spread our hands out. As it comes in the hadith that, you know, it was possible for a small little kid to pass through that space. There should be, you know, a space between a person's stomach and thighs. And another thing which many people are not aware of is that when a person is in sajda, then some effort should be made to press, you know, his toes on the ground, such that they face the direction of the qibla to whatever extent possible. So whilst in sajda, he should, you know, make some effort to press his toes on the ground such that to whatever extent possible they are facing the direction of the qibla. Very important. I'm not sure whether it's there in the pamphlet, but If a person raises his feet off the ground, then a person's salah is invalidated. So this is something that we need to give importance to, that our feet don't come off the ground whilst we are in sajda. So sajda will be like this. Now from qoma, we are going to say Allahu Akbar. So we said knees first, then after palms, and then nose, then forehead. My hands are in line with my ears, and the fingers should be facing in the direction of Qibla. And then when a person is in sajda, then three times he should read the tasbih, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, thrice minimum, or you can read any odd number of times, 5, 7, 9, however many. So one more time, a person from the qoma, he will say Allahu Akbar. It will be knees first, then palms, the thumbs are in line with the ears, fingers will be closed. As we said, that in ruku you're going to clasp, in sajda you're going to close, and in every other position you just leave it as normal. The person will go straight down. Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. What's also important, brothers, is that a person should ensure that his forehead and nose are on the ground, established, and they are firm on the ground. So that is sajda. Thereafter is the position of jalsa. Jalsa is the position between the two sajdas. Jalsa, the sitting position. Here a person should place the palms on the thighs with the fingertips on the edge of the knees. Fingers will be in the natural position, as I just mentioned. The gaze will be on the area between the lower chest and the lap. So, somewhere like this. And the left foot will be flat on the ground, and the right one should be erect. This is mentioned in the hadith. That's how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it. And a person should remain in the position of jalsa with the body being completely at ease and calm before going into sajda. And then the takbir, and then proceed for the second sajda as normal. After the second sajda, a person will say the takbir. So from sajda now a person is going to be waking up. So a person is now he's in sajda and he is going to be waking up. So firstly, let's focus on the feet. We should try to whatever extent possible. This is how Nabi Sassam used to sit, is that the right leg was erect and the toes where, to whatever extent possible, facing the direction of the Qibla, and he sat on the left leg. The hands will be placed on the thighs with the fingers just slightly over the knees. And that's about it. So, not the easiest of postures, but to whatever extent possible. I know that sometimes people have got injuries, people are old and so on, but it's the position of mujahada is mentioned in Abu Dawud. That is how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to sit. So the right leg was erect with the toes to whatever extent possible facing towards the Qibla, and he sat on the left one. And a person will place his hands on the thigh, and then just slightly overlapping onto the knee. So that's the position of jalsa. The other thing, brothers, is that very, very important, as we spoke about the importance of the position of qoma, jalsa is equally as important. Meaning that a person has to bring his body to a complete halt and a complete condition of calmness and composure. Because, sometimes a person just barely comes up from the first sajda and then he's rushing down into the second one. Whereas this is not the case. Here also there are du'as which are mentioned that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to read in his salah. If a person can't remember the du'a, then we should at least try to say Rabbi ghfirli. But otherwise the du'a is Allahumma ghfirli warhamni wa'afini wahdini warzuqni. Beautiful du'a Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make. Allahumma ghfirli, that oh Allah forgive me. Warhamni, have mercy on me. Wa'afini, grant me a life of ease. Wahdini, guide me. Warzuqni, and oh Allah, you provide for me. Allahumma ghfirli, warhamni, wa'afini, wahdini, warzuqni. These du'as are printed on a card. Inshallah, I'll I'll hand them over to Mufti, inshallah, and then by next week, inshallah, you can have them. It's the du'as of Qoma and Jalsa, and inshallah, we should try to learn these things and implement them, inshallah, in our salah. So that is the position of Jalsa. So very important, brothers. As in Qoma, we emphasize the importance of a person bringing his body to a complete halt. There must be calmness and composure. All, you know, the bones of a person's body should come to a halt in the same way in the position of Jalsa. So that completes now the first sajda. Thereafter, a person will go down into the second sajda, nose first and then forehead. And then Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, he will recite the sajda. Thereafter, a person will wake up from the position of sajda and he's going for the second rakat. When a person is waking up, then it will be first the forehead off the ground, then the nose, then the hands. If possible, to whatever extent possible, we should try not to take support. It is mentioned that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he used to wake up from the, you know, wake up into the next standing position, he would not take support from the ground. That was only Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in old age he took support. So if we can, then inshallah we should try to use the support of our knees and wake up. So coming up from the second sajda, it will be like this.
First, the forehead, up, then the nose,
then our hands, we'll place them on our knees and we'll wake up like this, with our back erect. Clear? Inshallah. Bring it back. Thereafter, we'll continue with the second rakat as normal. So Bismillah, there will be Suratul Fatiha, then they will read Bismillah and we'll read another surah. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. Go down into ruku, the tasbih, come up into the position of qawma. Let's not forget that total calmness and composure, inshallah, we're going to try to implement these du'as. Go down into sajda, first the knees, then the palms, then the nose, and then the forehead, and then the same process in reverse. Then is the position of jalsa. Bring our body to a total halt. We're going to read the dua, the second sajda, and then we're going to be sitting now in the last sitting of salah. Because just, you know, for convenience sake, this is a two rakat salah that we are reading. So, this is the second sajda of the second rakat. Now we're going to wake up, and now it is tashahud. So our leg is like this erect. The toes are facing towards the qibla. And I'm sitting on the left foot. A person will read the At-Tahiyyat. At-Tahiyyat. Very, very beautiful dua. We should actually try also to learn the correct wordings as well as the translation. See, the more a person can try to ponder over the translation, the more this will bolster the quality of our salah. At-Tahiyyatu lillah was-salawatu wat-tayyibat. A person is actually saying that, oh Allah, whatever I am doing, be it a verbal utterance, qawli, fi'li, and amali. So my every action, my verbal sacrifice, my monetary sacrifice, and my physical sacrifice is all for you. So everything, oh Allah, whatever I am doing is for you. At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawat wa-tayyibat. So at-tahiyyat was-salawat wa-tayyibat. That, oh Allah, every action of mine is for you. Then, Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. A person is going to make a ring with the thumb and the middle finger. And ashhadu an la ilaha. When a person starts reading ashhadu an la ilaha, he will raise his finger. And then on illallah, he will drop his finger. So the knee will be like this, so he's going to say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And you don't have to raise the finger too high, it should face towards in the direction of qibla. So you don't need to raise it too high. Many people feel that, you know, it's an indication towards tawheed. No, it should be in the direction of qibla. So ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Thereafter will be the Durood Ibrahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Thereafter we can read any dua. The dua of Bukhari is Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. Wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. Faghfir li maghfiratan min indik. Warhamni innaka antal ghafurur rahim. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he requested that, O Prophet of Allah, Teach me a dua that I may read in my salah and I may read when I enter my home. عَلِّمْنِي دُعَاءً أَدْعُو بِهِ فِي صَلَاتِي وَحِينَ أَدْخُلُ بَيْتِي. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught him this dua. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. Now imagine, salah is such a beautiful command that a person, he obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he praised Allah, he extolled Allah, he prostrated, he bowed, he did so many things. He glorified Allah. At the end of it, he's saying that, oh Allah, I have wronged myself, you know, greatly. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. وَلَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْ. None forgives sins save thee. فَاغْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِنْ عِنْدِكْ وَرْحَمْنِي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Day after will be the salam or the tasneem. When making salam, brothers, a person, as his head is straight, he will just merely turn it to the right. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. And then bring it back to the center and then say, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. So, utter Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. We should turn our head significantly because it comes in the hadith that Sahaba ikram, they could see the whiteness on the cheeks, the whiteness of the cheeks of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it wasn't just a slight turn, but it was a full turn to the right. And to the left, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Yes. This we discussed is if a person is reading his own salah. If a person is reading salah behind the imam, whether it be a salah, you know, where the qiraat is read loudly, audibly or inaudibly. So whether it be Isha or whether it be Zuhar Asr, we will not be reading anything. So after we say our takbir at tahrima, we're going to read thana only. And then after that, the imam, he does the reading. In a loud salah, yes, we're going to be listening to him. In a soft salah, we won't be reading anything. So we should remember this. I think, brothers, our time is up. We've basically just covered we gave an overview of the salah. I know there's going to be a lot of questions. People have a lot of questions with regards to salah. But I don't want to, you know, I said half an hour. I said 20-25 minutes. I think we've just gone over that mark there. So whoever needs to leave can leave, but we're opening the floor for questions as well, inshallah. Ji, Dr. Saab. There is some slight difference in opinion with regards to that. But the more stronger preferred call is that it should actually all be erect. There is a second opinion as well about, you know, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on certain occasions, yes, he slightly bent it. But the stronger opinion is that it should all be kept straight. Oh, yes. Yes, I forgot to mention that. Maaf. Jazakallah. So in Sajda, the narration of Ibn Khuzaymah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to join his two heels. So when we are in Sajda, we are going to ensure that our both heels are touching. This is the Sunnah method. Oh, yes, you should look at your nose. Should be try to look at your nose. Is that mentioned? Yeah, I think it's mentioned. It's mentioned. Yes, should look towards our nose. No, not a major sin at all. Yes, but if we join the salah with the imam from the beginning, then we are going to read thana. If we join after the imam has commenced his recitation, then you won't read it. In the same way, if a person is late for salah, then you're just going to say Allahu Akbar. And then at the end of your salah, when you are going to stand up, then you are going to read your thana. So the main thing is that there's no recitation, you know, by the muqtadi, the follower, Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that man kana lahu imam fa qira'atul imami lahu qira'ah. Whoever is reading behind the imam is making the qira'ah for you. As a special consideration, I'm not too sure, but so long as he's not remaining silent, he continues. Yeah, I think it's okay. I'm not sure what the exact ruling with regards to that. Doc, while you're on that question, Maaf, another very important thing, brothers, is that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that إِذَا أَتَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَلَا تَأْتُهَا تَسْعُونَ. When you're coming for salah, don't come running. Very often it happens that, you know, the rakat is about to end, or a person wants to catch the ruku, so he made it for the ruku. Now a person is running. And it happens very often. Whilst we are in salah, we can hear somebody is running, his keys are making noise, his shoes, the shoe rack, and then we hear, you know, all the footsteps. This is contrary to the sunnah. If you miss the rakat, you miss the rakat. No problem. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Wama adraktum fasallu." Whichever part of the salah you got, you join in. But what you miss, then you complete that yourself. But it's incorrect for a person to come running, especially when it creates a disturbance. People, it happens very often. You know, we got one musalli over there, he comes every day. You know, you can hear him putting his sleeves down. He reads loud. You know, I think even the imam can hear him. So this is incorrect. If you made it for the rakat, you made it. And if you didn't make it, then ensure that you come in a normal way. You're not stamping your feet. You're not making noises with, you know, your kurta and 2-3 people are running. This is actually against sunnah. Sorry, brother. Yes. Even if you, yeah. So, basically, so long as you caught the ruku, then you made it for the rakat. So long as you manage to catch the imam in ruku, then you have made it for the rakat. Sorry? Yeah. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Yes. Yeah, okay, that's a, mashallah, very good common question. Is that how do we build up our concentration? Firstly, we said is that try to come early for the salah and, you know, empty the mind. As was mentioned, that the salah and the time before is, you know, is for a person to condition his mind to prepare himself for the main event. When the imam is reading, then we should at least try to focus on whatever he is reading. If inshallah in the loud salah, if we practice upon this, then inshallah in the silent salah, then inshallah we'll achieve this quality of concentration. The main thing, brothers, is that whenever any thought comes into our mind, we should not allow that to process. You know, just let it pass. Don't allow that thing to conjure and now to, you know, we start now. Taking it now, you know, we start allowing the thought to process. As soon as something comes, just dismiss it. Allow it to pass. Don't allow it to process in our mind. Yeah. So that then that will be sajdatu sahw. Yeah. Now, a person will sit in the last posture and he will read at-tahiyyat only. So, ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Thereafter, you are going to make one salam and then you are going to go down and make another two sajdas. And then you will sit again in your normal tashahud position. You will read at-tahiyyat, you will read durud Ibrahim and you will read a dua and then terminate your salah the normal way. No, not for the number of rakats, no. This is if a person misses out something which is compulsory, meaning something which is wajib. See, with regards to the number of rakats, that is something compulsory, meaning that if the salah is 4 rakats, you have to read 4. Yes. Yes. Now, what a person will do over there is that, firstly, a person will assume, he should apply his mind and try to know what is the minimum number that he has read. So, if between 3 or 4 he is not sure, then he will assume that he read 3. He will sit after 3, even though it might be 4, because that's where the actual issue is. So, even though it's 4, but he will sit after his 3rd rakat, and then he's going to stand up, going to read his 4th rakat. Now he has got the conviction, and he's got the certainty that he's completed the 4th rakat, but he will make sajda sahwa. Yes. But I mean, you have to be in doubt. You can't know that you can't know with certainty that I've read 5. If you know with certainty that you read 5, then that salah is not valid because it has to be 4 rakats. This is when you are in doubt. You're so confused, you're not sure now. And even after the salah, you're not sure whether it was 3 or 4. But if you know with certainty that now you read 5 rakats, then that salah won't be valid. You'll have to repeat that salah. Sorry, our brother, yeah. No, there's nothing to be read as such. No. Just, you've got to apply your mind. Don't allow anything to process in your mind. Just dismiss it. So the thought of something came, just take it and throw it away. And try to focus once again. Okay, brothers, can we just terminate? Anybody who got any more questions, inshallah, then we'll entertain that because we don't want to exceed our time too much. Jazakallahu khair. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakallahu khair. Allah ta'ala reward.